This is Biz. I'm a stay-at-home mom with a baby boy and a daughter who's a full-blown kid.
And I'm Teresa, a part-time working mom with two little boys.
This is a show about life after giving life. Don't listen with your kids, because there will be swears. This is One Bad Mother.
This week on One Bad Mother, can we stop talking about our kids, please? Plus, baby photos make Biz sad. Teresa turns her car into a playground, and we speak with Erica Ladd on what your teacher wants you to know.
Woo!
How are you, Teresa?
I'm great.
Good.
I know.
That's good. Everything, really?
Kind of, yeah.
Oh, that's good. Enjoy it!
I know.
I don't even want it. Let's not even talk about it.
Should
in case
I have another baby?
You should totally have another baby. That's excellent. You should have
that's
another
what
baby.
It means when yes. Everything is okay. All right. Yep. How
Perfect.
Are you?
I'm okay, but I have noticed a new thing, mm-hmm. a little something I'm doing. So when I'm on the Facebook and I see pictures of people, in particular, brand new babies. I have a lot of friends who just had brand new babies. And I see the little baby sleeping, or I see the little baby in their arms, or I see the little baby basically just being a sweet, perfect little baby. I get immensely sad.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sad. Describe, what are you thinking?
Okay, what it is I'm like, here comes the thudding anvil of sadness.
Okay.
I didn't love my baby enough when he was a baby.
Oh, my God.
Which is crazy, because I totally love my baby, but because there was some postpartum and there was some, like, really, because he was such an intense, like, baby. Yeah. He's still an intense kid, but because, like, those first 3 months were so intense of the screaming and the crying and the car rides and, like, just everything was so much that, like, I see that picture of that little baby and I'm like, mine is not that little baby anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, he's already starting to lose some of the baby face stuff. Like, he's already, like, I just am like, I fucked it up.
Oh, my God.
I know. And I look at him like, this. Okay, I totally love my baby, and I totally, like, whatever. But I'm like, I want that why am I not getting that magic? Can I go?
But it's Facebook. It's not, do you know what
I'm
saying?
I know, it's not real life.
I'm not trying to take it away from other people, like, but they're pictures. Like,
I know.
They're pictures. I mean, we just talked about last week, like, it doesn't. It really does not, like, tell the whole story.
No, and
you know?
But here's the thing is it's not the story. I'm sure that kid is a total dick the rest of the time. To me, it is solely the emotional response. Mm-hmm. It's not the, like, I wish my life had been different with Ellis. It is purely I see a peaceful, beautiful baby, and I wish when I had – if I had seen a picture of Ellis that same day, at that same age, that might not have been – my instinct.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's something, I feel like I missed something.
Yeah, I know. You know what? Yeah. I think that I missed something that is, you like, hit the nail on the head. I missed something. And that, I think, like, I have that too.
Okay.
Like, I think that that is, like, pretty universal because I go back and I look at other people's pictures of with them with their new babies.
Yeah.
And, like, it's not exactly the same feeling, but it is, like, a heart-wrenching feeling in a way. Like, there's something – I wouldn't describe it as a sadness, but there is, like, something so tender.
Yeah.
Like, when you look at little babies.
Yeah.
That – and especially when the feeling is so fresh for you because, like, we just had babies. I mean, less than a year ago, we had babies. and it's – it's almost like kind of like an open wound in a way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's just the emotion is so strong about babies.
And I think it plays into that whole thing that I maybe we never escape. That did I make the right choice? Did I do the right thing? Did I, like, whatever it is that you go through with your kid?
Totally.
I just thought I'd share.
I have one other question about it. Does it make you want to do anything different now?
Oh,
like, does
now,
it make you say,
yes.
But so then I'm going to look, like, does it make you want to be more present now?
Yeah, no, it totally makes me, because on the upside is that I am really getting into a great place with Ellis.
Oh,
I am
cool.
Such, it's like a total light switch of just, like, how madly in love with him I am and, like, just how great he's turning out to be. He's, like, figuring things out. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm just really enjoying my time with him. And so I just am trying to, like, get into that even more.
Yeah.
And like, I am in the process of getting ready to start trying to wean Ellis. And it just gets put off every other day because I'm like, no, you're my baby and I'm holding you and you need me and you're perfect when you're just sitting here and being quiet and lovely and needing me. So, you know, it's all.
It sounds perfect.
It sounds great. It sounds really
healthy. It really does sound perfect. So like, it's like exactly perfect.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's fine. But I think the solution to all of this is for us to just pretend like we don't even have kids today. This
Let's
is today's challenge for us. We've
all
been we've been joking around about this actually since we started the show. Mm-hmm. I wonder if we could even do part of the show without talking about our kids or being a mom, right?
Right.
So today's on today's topic, we are gonna try to not talk about our kids, or even it's gonna be like we don't even have kids,
Or just like not, we're just not, it's not about being moms,
it's not about being moms,
we're just ourselves.
We are Biz and Teresa, and we're gonna spend a little time getting to know each other, not as moms.
Please take a moment to remember, if you're friends of the hosts of One Bad Mother, you should assume that when we talk about other moms, we're talking about you.
If you are married to the host of One Bad Mother, we definitely are talking about you.
Nothing we say constitutes professional parenting advice.
Biz and Teresa's children are brilliant, lovely, and exceedingly extraordinary.
Nothing said on this podcast about them implies otherwise.
Teresa?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is so, I'm so excited about
this. Do you
want
to be friends? Just like regular friends?
Not mom friends?
Not mom friends.
Let's just be regular friends.
We're just friends.
All right. This is good. These are, so the setup here is Teresa and I have come in with three questions each to ask each other that we both also have to answer in a way of getting to know each other, not in relation to our children.
Yep.
So, with that said,
do we have to like put a dollar in a jar if we like mention something about our kids or being a mom or something?
Oh, that's good.
Let's do a dollar just so that we actually like try hard.
Okay.
Put a dollar on that chair.
Okay.
Every time we make a mistake and talk about answer these questions in perspective of being moms and having kids, and that we will donate to the LA Food Bank. Maybe?
That sounds great.
At the end of the episode?
Yeah.
Great.
Perfect.
Okay.
Okay. Teresa, why don't you ask the first question?
Okay. Biz, are you a morning person?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I am, in fact, a morning person.
Oh.
I enjoy the morning. I can get up pretty early. I'm an early riser. I actually, some of my favorite memories are of like working at camps or working at outdoor theaters and being up at like 5 o'clock in the morning and just like having coffee on a porch, the sun's coming up and chain smoking cigarettes. Just like this beautiful calm about the morning. And most of my energy is there. And by like 12 in the afternoon, I am on a steady decline for the rest of the day. So yes, I am in fact a morning person. Teresa? Are you?
Yeah.
No, you're not.
I am.
Are you?
Yeah, and it's really weird to hear you describe it because I it's similar for me, although without the chain smoking. But I think also people who really like coffee really like mornings because you wake up and you have that feeling like, ooh, I'm gonna have some really delicious coffee right now.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling of in the morning almost anything I could do first thing in the morning. Like, makes me happy. Like, I have, like, a good, like, optimistic feeling. I like the peace. It feels peaceful, even if, like, something crazy is going on.
Crazy. That's right.
And, like, whether I'm gonna, you know, take a walk or take a shower or get ready to go somewhere, I like that.
That's
and then,
good.
And then, yes, as of, like, 11, 12... Then it just starts being like, oh, God.
Yeah, it's just all downhill.
Let's just end the day and
like
go back to the morning.
There is no coffee that will help bring back the morning feel.
Right.
I'm going to take a time out and say, this is hard.
It's really fucking hard.
This is hard.
Yeah.
This is really good for us.
Yeah.
This is so healthy.
Yeah, it's really
fun. Usually both of us probably have these expressions of like, ooh.
It's a like you have to get over a wave. Like you're surfing and you're like, just gotta ride this wave.
Yeah. All right. Oh, that's a good starting question. Okay. All right. This is kind of a double.
Okay.
But it's short, so it's kind of, but it's a classic.
Okay.
All right. So favorite movie, favorite musician, band, like whatever. Like you know, you're on the island, you get to watch the one movie and have the one album, you know, till you shoot yourself in the head after being abandoned on an island with two things.
Yeah.
Neither being food or water. What are yours?
Yeah. Movies, that's really hard.
That's always hard. I can give you a little leeway of like top three if you want.
I'll just pick one. I'll just pick one. I think my favorite movie of all time is Monty Python's Life of Brian.
You're a Life of Brian person.
I'm a Life of Brian person. I know.
Just to quickly answer this, yeah. I'm a Meaning of Life person.
Oh, you are.
So there you go.
Oh, my God.
That's its own little question thing there.
That's,
okay, anyway.
That's cool. Yeah, that could have just been a question. Yeah.
Which Mel Brooks person are you? Right.
Yeah. Life of Brian. Wayne's World holds a special place in my heart.
Oh, that's
always. But I think, like, when it comes down to it, if I was picking the movie for the island,
right,
it would be Life of Brian.
That's pretty good. That's good.
Album is way harder for me, and no matter what I say, I'm gonna be singer.
So it doesn't have to be like the one out. It could be like musician, music, whatever. Like who are you stuck with?
Yeah, I guess I'm gonna go with Band of Horses.
Okay,
probably.
Yeah, they're pretty relaxing for an island.
Yeah, I mean, I like.
They're also very good morning music.
They are good morning music. It's a good type of music for my energy. Like, that is...
Oh.
Do you know what I'm saying?
You know what, Teresa? That is accurate.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. That's pretty spot on.
Okay.
Given the energy of you that I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's pretty good.
Thank you. So now let's...
This is a hard one to do, like, whatever. But I would have to say the movie that I could just put on any day of the week and watch a bazillion times on an island or whatever, inappropriately on an island, would be, I'm going to say right now, it's going to be Jaws.
What?
I fucking love Jaws. I love Jaws a
You
lot.
Love Jaws?
I love Jaws.
Like over and over?
I can watch Jaws over and over and over
again.
Do you
get scared?
No.
It's just exciting.
It's just like
fun.
It's just like
Is
a
it comforting?
Perfect. It's just like a perfect movie. It's just like super well done. I really enjoy like all the locals. I mean, you know, a second close is like Meatballs, which I could watch a million times, you know, but I just fucking love that. I just hear the opening scene, they're getting off the ferry, and it's like, you know, you want to get drunk and fool around. Like, I just fucking, like, love Jaws.
I have to tell you something.
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
Oh, no! We hit the first litmus test of the show. Like, really?
I've never seen Jaws.
Oh, it's such a fun movie.
Yeah.
It's really great.
I think...
Because it's not like horror, like, some monster's going to come.
No, I know. I just still... I've just never seen it. I guess I'll have to see it.
You should see it.
Yeah.
It's good.
Okay.
And the unedited. I mean, like, don't watch it on, like, AMC or something.
No.
Like, get the... Rent it. Rent it.
Get it on Netflix.
Get it on Netflix.
Rent it.
Rent it.
What are you talking about? What does that mean?
Go to the video store. Look at movies. Whatever they have is all you get. Take your VHS home. Order
rent,
a pizza.
Rent a VHS
rent
player.
Rent a VHS. music... You know, I could go back and forth, but, you know, the only man that understands me is Barry Manilow. I am a fan of Lowe. I think I've said it before. I could, even though I'm going through a dry spell with Barry right now, he's just too much. He's just sometimes he's too much for my heart. I fucking love Barry.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm a Barry fan.
I'm down for that. I'd
fucking Barry it up.
All right.
Yep. If anybody's interested in knowing some deep cuts of Barry that they might not have come upon normally... That's it. All right.
There. All right.
Okay. Big epic trip, right? You got to tell me which mode of like transportation would be your fantasy trip. So is it like a boat? Is it like a train? Is it, you know, caravan? Like whatever it is. Like what is like an epic trip that's based around a form of transportation? What is that transportation?
Oh, man. I'm going to go with cruise ship.
Oh.
I would have probably said train because trains are cool and I bet that would be cool.
Yeah.
But it's kind of cramped. Huh. I had so much fun being on a cruise ship and it wasn't it wasn't about like the stuff on the cruise ship, but the feeling of the water, the feeling of moving on the water and just anywhere you were looking out the window and seeing the water and seeing like the wide open ocean was so like it just gave me a good feeling. Like
that's nice.
Yeah.
Is there a place you'd like to cruise in particular?
No.
No, you're just like being on the boat.
Yeah, being on the boat. Well, isn't that the question?
Well, yeah, no, but I was just thinking if you wanted to expand out
that,
a little bit of like,
I feel
where
like I
cruise.
Would do it, like I would do that anywhere.
Yeah.
The only thing is, I don't know if it would apply if it were like a small boat. Because like I've been on little boats, in Central America, like taking a little boat to a place that you can't get to unless you're on a boat.
Right.
And like that was kind of scary for me. Like the waves were too big and the boat was too small. And it was like, I didn't like puke, but I was like really scared. Yeah. I was like really freaked out. So I think it would have to be
like the city on the sea kind of thing. Right. Yeah.
Totally. What about you?
I think I'm trained and I'm like old school. Yeah. Like I would love to do like old school train, like in like a real living car. Like it's like you're not like in the Amtrak. You're like in a, it's like a hotel room car kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's either like going across like North America through Canada, that kind of thing, or, like going through the Middle East or something, like a very like Orient Express style experience.
That sounds awesome.
Would be super rad and like romantic and awesome and like, adventurous.
Yeah.
It's just enough adventure, but you could jump back on a train.
I love that you can just sit and look out the window and like, That's a thing that you can do in and of itself.
But
like,
yeah, exactly.
So beautiful.
Right?
And, like,
and drink tea or wine.
Yeah, that sounds
Solve a mystery. Solve a
You'll
murder.
You'll definitely be solving at least one
murder mystery. Right? At least one. All my vacation plans need to be able to solve at least one murder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. What's your perfect food day?
Oh, all right.
And if you need a minute to think about it, I can understand because I actually spent some time thinking about this already.
Now, my instinct is right there. So, one, to just have a budget. Okay, first of all, the budget's just like, let's just say there's no budget.
There's no budget.
So I'm going to go to fucking Whole Foods.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just shop like there's no budget.
Okay.
I'm going to just get the like best, most nice, most fresh, most, I'm going to go to the butcher.
Totally.
I mean, I just like.
Yeah.
I don't want that one. I want this one. Show me your finest. Like, whatever. I definitely just like crazy Whole Food experience.
Mm-hmm.
I would then like to probably cook something right with that experience. But then I want to go to a 5-course meal. We never went to.
Are we talking about maybe that's lunch?
That's like lunch. Like, you cook
like
it
you're
like
cooking,
a lunch.
So you're doing like a whole Whole Foods thing.
A Whole Foods thing for lunch.
And then
that evening.
And then that night. Okay.
I want to go to like. Stefan and I really like to eat, and we really like fucking great food. I mean, who doesn't? But I mean, I don't know. Some people, like, I did a conference once where I took these managers to one night. It was like this Top Chef winning tasting menu, super awesome restaurant. And the next night, it was bowling with like bins of just burgers and hot dogs and beans and shit. And everybody was like, what are these little plates of food? You know, like at the high-end restaurant.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, I know some people just, like, aren't into it or whatever, but, like,
so
what's the big one in New York, per se?
We never
did per se, which is, like, a 5-course. Like, they change the napkins on your laps every course, you know. And there's, like, little things in between. Like, everything's wine-paired for sure.
Yep.
No worrying about driving home or whatever. You can take the 5 hours to eat that you want to take, and it's just, like, little bites of just delicious and art. That would be so fucking good. I love fucking eating. That'd be great.
That sounds totally awesome.
I worked up a sweat.
Yeah.
I really
liked hearing about that, especially because you approached it from a totally different direction than I did.
Let's get to know each other. Somebody's life of Brian and somebody's meaning of life. All right.
I know. It's so hot.
It's so fucking hot here, by the way, everybody.
Just so you guys know, it's like 106 in LA today.
Yeah. And we're in that little non-air conditioned booth that might as well just be lined in carpet.
And I should have worn a tank top, not a t-shirt.
Doesn't matter. I wore a tank top and I'm like passing out.
Okay. But yours sounds so good. I would totally have that day too.
Yeah.
But my day is different. this is my day.
I can't wait. I'm going to put in some action theme music or
this
something.
This is how I approach it. I approach it from like a timeline perspective. So like first thing in the morning, what I want is like a perfect cup of coffee with a croissant. Like not like a massive croissant, just like a little pastry with my coffee. Then, a couple hours later, like maybe 3 hours
later,
I'll be ready for some fruit salad and like some scrambled eggs and toast type thing.
Yeah.
A little second breakfast. Then, like around 12 or 1, that's when I want like a perfect cheeseburger and a milkshake. And I want it to be really good.
Yeah.
Obviously, everything we're talking about is, like, the perfect version
this
of each
other. It's not like the Big Mac cheeseburger.
No.
Here's your fucking cheeseburger.
No, this is, like, an umami burger or something.
Something good.
And a milkshake. And then, like, in the late afternoon, early evening, that's when I'm going to want to do, like, some really good guacamole with, like, some chips and veggies.
Nice.
And, like, a margarita.
Yeah.
And then, later, at, like, 8... That's when I'm going to do, like, a glass of Chardonnay and some cheese. And, like, maybe a little sourdough. Gotta have some San Francisco sourdough in there.
Nice!
Yeah, that's my perfect food day.
That is a beautiful day.
Thank you.
That is and a very different
very
sort
different
of day.
Very different from yours,
Yeah, that's nice.
Thank you.
I like that. Okay.
I know everybody's going to really enjoy hearing this.
All right.
Maybe they don't want to get to know us.
Maybe they don't want to get to know us. All right. All right. You got another one?
Yeah. This one might be hard, but are you more like your mom or your dad?
Oh, I think I might be a perfect blend a little bit because, like, it's I think – I'm like my mother because I will talk to any and everybody and delight in that and want to be helpful and like over helpful and like a student kind of thing. Like, I can help you. And then I think I'm like my father because there's sort of like, I don't know how to describe it. It's the like, it's a little bit of a, you got to do it right the first time kind of thing. Make it perfect.
Yeah.
Mixed with a slight mean streak towards kids. It's like, you know, there's alligators in there. And if you fall out of the roller coaster, the alligators are going to eat you. It's not the fall that'll get you. It's the alligator. You know, like, I delight in, like, fucking with people a little bit. You know, like, he's the king of, like, you know, when I was in high school and kids would call him, they'd be like, Elizabeth there? Yeah, she is. Click. I'm like, you know what? They want to ask you more than one question.
Right.
Well, they should learn what that question is. You're like, So like, but it's totally also who I am. We're going to, we want to help you. We want to teach you and teach you a lesson. That's my family.
That's,
and I just totally do those things.
No, that's cool. Because I kind of feel like I'm a blend in the same way.
Yeah.
A lot of times they conflict.
Yeah,
like,
they do.
A lot of times they do. Like, I feel like I have my mom's tendency for kind of like running late and trying to do too much. But I also have my dad's tendency to be like, it's really important to like show respect for people by being on time and like showing up and like being prepared and like, you know what I mean? And like having your shit together and like doing things right the first time. But like sometimes it's like all happening
constant,
at once.
Yeah.
I think sometimes I think I'm, I just assume I'm more like my mom because I'm a woman and I'm doing maybe some of the same things that my mom, I saw my mom doing. And like, I kind of look like my mom.
Yeah.
And nobody ever says I look like my dad. But the funny thing is whenever I spend time with my dad, I'm like, holy fuck, I'm exactly like you. Like, anytime he, like, tells me something about himself, I'm just like, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like that too. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, it's like, really, really intense.
Well, is that why? Oh, I came so close to having to put a dollar in the jar.
Oh, man.
Oh, we're doing really so well.
Yeah.
We were doing really well.
Yeah.
Okay, last question.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't know if you guys have this in your life. Wrapping up this segment. Get to know Biz and Teresa better. Everybody's just dying to do this. Celebrity out.
Nobody will download this episode. This will be our one episode that just has zero downloads.
No one's like, just so people like sometimes search like breastfeeding. Oh, we've come upon it. Let's download it. Listen to it. Oh, diapers. Oh, let's download it. Listen to it. Get to know Biz and Teresa. Okay. So celebrity out. This is the person mm-hmm. that if they walk up and they're like, hey, want to have sex? Mm-hmm. You're like, yes. And like, no divorce will happen. Your husband or your partner's mm-hmm. like, absolutely. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have this.
I think people have this.
We don't have it. Jesse and I do not have that.
Okay. Well, let's pretend you do. Who's your, and I, just so you know, Steph and I started talking about this morning, and I was mm-hmm. like, yeah, you know, have sex with or dinner. And he's like, your out can't be somebody you just want to have dinner with. I'm like, I don't know. I'm fucking tired. Yeah. It'd be nice to have dinner with some people.
Yeah.
But anyway, so sex with a celebrity.
Benicio del Toro.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That is really good.
Thank you.
That's good.
Yeah.
I have a really hard time with this because mm-hmm. I actually haven't thought about it much recently. So mm-hmm. anybody I think of should still be in their 20s
right.
and or 30s.
I think I'm thinking of Benicio del Toro from
at least 10 years ago.
It's possible maybe even 15
right.
years ago.
Right. So, yeah, exactly. So it's not the like – so that gets all kind of crazy.
Because this isn't real. That's the thing.
It's real. We live in L.A.
Okay, it's real. Well, that's why we don't have a celebrity out.
Because you could technically –
I don't want him to have sex with somebody.
Because he comes
he meets lots of celebrities. No, he's not allowed to have sex with anyone.
So mine – if I go with my original, mm-hmm. the one who had the longest standing, like I would say 10, 15 years, mm-hmm. I said this person, mm-hmm. that would be Seth Green. I gotta tell you, so like, I grew
this
up with Seth Green.
This is the best information.
I grew up with Seth Green because
from 90210?
I guess, was he on 90210?
Yeah.
Seth Green? He was on Buffy.
Yeah, he was on Buffy, but he was on 90210 before that.
I never watched 90210.
Okay.
But like, he was like in like...
Wait, you know what? I'm thinking of Brian Austin Green.
I was picturing Seth Green.
I just for some reason in my mind transplanted him into Brian Austin Green from 90210.
I was picturing Seth Green all along.
Yes.
Tiny little Seth Green.
Yes.
Because like I was a kid when he was a kid or whatever, okay. and like grew up watching him on stuff, and he was just totally my type.
Okay.
Especially growing up and mm-hmm. stuff. And forever I was just like, then it turned into this thing for me where I was like, all right, if somebody ever meets Seth Green, whenever uh-huh. somebody gets famous, they need to have a party where Seth Green's there and like tries to not awkwardly just, because I think we'd hang out well.
Yeah.
Like I think we'd be good friends.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And side note, I had asked Stefan at one point in time, mm-hmm. who would your out be? And he mm-hmm. was like, Drew Barrymore. At the time it was Drew Barrymore. And I just looked mm-hmm. at him and I said, yeah, it's probably another one of mine too. I mean, come on. Like that'd be like, yeah, that's
Drew
all right.
Barrymore,
Drew Barrymore is...
Yeah,
incredibly
lovely. Yeah.
She is. I really want her on the show, and I'm pretty sure this is how we're going to get her on the show.
This is how we're going to get her.
By me saying,
she has kids, doesn't she?
She does. She's like a whole thing. She's like kids
now. Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore.
On One Bad Mother.
You want to come. We'll give
you... I'm sure she's listening.
She is. Celebrities love One Bad Mother. They just don't want to tell us. They just don't want us to know how much they're dying.
I haven't asked Jesse who's his is because I don't really want to know.
Very smart.
Don't
That's
really
why I'm like, as long
it.
As it's like, Stefan, I think, also at one point said Jodie Foster, and I was like, all right. Good.
Jodie Foster. She's that's very, cool.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
that's really cool.
So, like, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Okay.
Yeah, because you don't want, like, Jesse, you don't want them to be, like, somebody who you're actually, like, one degree away
exactly.
from.
Exactly. That's
like,
why I don't want to know. I feel like it's, like, too possible that it would be somebody that, anyway.
But, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Great.
We did it.
We did it. Now we don't have to make any donations to that ridiculous Los Angeles food bank.
Screw you, LA food bank.
We'll definitely, like, donate at least.
We'll
donate $20 to the LA food bank or something.
Absolutely.
This, okay?
Absolutely. We'll donate to LA food bank.
Because that's really sad.
But I will say, it got like it was really great at the first question. It was very hard, but then the moment the questions got into like it was very easy to be like, fuck that. I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
Talk about my kids.
Yeah.
Who?
Me.
Right.
For once.
So I thought that was very fun. And I feel
fun.
Like I know you better.
Yeah.
I'm sure our listeners.
I totally learned new things about you.
Are
that's
all
great.
Super thankful for this segment.
Yeah. You're welcome, guys.
Yep. Let's come back and get to know another person even better after our genius and fails.
Great.
I'm Jesse Thorne.
I'm Jordan Morris.
The federal government has millions of dollars in programs and opportunities that you need to seize today.
You're a taxpayer, right? Well, then you've got it coming.
Thanks to Uncle Sam, you can get grant programs for veterans.
Postage stamps that'll ensure your mail gets there in a timely fashion.
Fruit for you and your family.
Child care for your children that turns them into super soldiers.
Get $1 million to open your own lake.
Useful power tools that are easy on your soft, delicate hands.
Your own personal radioactive brick.
More sexual attention from everyone at the used bookstore.
Greyhound tickets.
Soft, gentle kisses from TV's John Goodman.
A real narwhal.
Athletic socks filled with stew.
A valuable pamphlet on millet.
Your father's approval.
Don't wait, right now.
For all of this and more, drop us a line.
Jordan Jesse Go, 123 iTunes Street, or wherever you download podcasts.
Hey, you know what it's time for? This week's Genius and Fails. This is the part of the show where we share our genius moment of the week, as well as our failures, and feel better about ourselves by hearing yours. You can share some of your own by calling 206-350-9485. That's 206-350-9485.
Genius fail time.
Do you want to go first this week?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
I feel like it's been a while.
It has been a while.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I saw what you did.
Oh, my God.
I'm paying attention.
Wow.
You, Mom, are a genius.
Oh, my God. That's fucking genius.
Genius. Hiking. Katie Bell and I have started doing morning hikes on the weekend.
Amazing.
And it really actually has been amazing. She doesn't whine or complain. Like, she's really into it. She's like collecting nature, and I don't fight it. I just am like, wherever you want to go, we're out in nature.
Yeah.
I do not need to go on any certain trail.
So even if it goes like slow and she's stuck.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
Up. Yeah.
You know, we've got this time as long as we're drinking water, like whatever. It's like totally fine.
Yeah.
And it's been going really well.
Great. Do you bring the baby?
Nope, it's just me and her time.
Cool.
And it's like, because we're all up at the crack of dawn.
Yeah.
It's like 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
We go out there and then come back. It's been lovely.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good job.
And it's like, yeah, a lot of independence for her and like tracking through stuff and getting, and of course, I'm just like, not near the edge, you know, but like, we're getting there. We're sorting out our stuff. But yeah, I feel really good about it.
Good. We had, Jesse and I had dentist appointments last week, and I brought the baby with me, and we sort of do this thing where we take turns holding the baby, hanging out with the baby, and the other person gets their teeth cleaned.
Yeah.
And I had already gotten my teeth cleaned, and Jesse had walked Oscar around in the stroller. And so by the time Jesse was having his teeth cleaned and I was with Oscar, he was completely done being in the stroller.
Right.
He wanted to get out and move around. He had been napping in the car before that, so he didn't want to be in the car. We weren't near a park. There was no, like, we were just in, like, on a city street, basically. And there was, like, nothing really. I just couldn't figure out what the waiting room is, like, tiny, minuscule, and nothing in it. Like, linoleum floor, just, like, a couple chairs. And so I had the genius idea. I have a station wagon. I can just open up the way back of the station wagon and sit with kind of, like, my body across the back to kind of keep him in. And there's just like some crap back there, like for the dogs. Like there's like the chuck it thing to throw for the dogs and the tennis ball. There's like a leash. There was like a sweatshirt of mine. There's like a couple just stroller components and just whatever was there. But Oscar never hangs out in the back of the car, so it was fascinating to him. And we hung out there, and he just crawled around back there happily playing for like an hour, or well, 50 minutes.
Yeah,
50 minutes of that. And it was great. It was like a little play area for him.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's genius.
Yeah, thanks.
Good job.
I have a 5-year-old son and a 2-year-old daughter, and it is a constant disaster zone in our house, as you can probably guess. And so recently we had watched Annie, the original from 82 or whenever that was. My son loves it. He loves the whole concept. And the other day when we were cleaning up, we started playing Annie during cleanup time. And so I got to be grumpy that the house was a mess and pretend to be Miss Hannigan and storm all over and stomp all over and tell those rotten little orphans to clean up the room. And he giggled and laughed about it. And had a great time and actually put things away and look forward to cleanup time now. So I don't want to abuse it and use it every single time. But so far, it's been like 4 times and they've all been really awesome. So just sharing.
That was awesome. I want to say this for Sean at the top of the Chrysler building.
Oh, God.
We just watched it recently. I know, right?
I think this mom should, like, take it to the next level and have him, like, scrubbing windows and scrubbing floors and
while singing
really
and dancing,
get into it.
Mopping the floor. That's right. Yep. Exactly.
And then she can go make herself some bathtub gin.
Failures.
Fail.
You suck.
Teresa, you're going to love this failure of mine.
Oh, goody. I can't wait.
All right. So we've got some Highland teething tabs.
Uh-huh.
That's
a fail in and of itself.
So, yeah, I'm like, these probably do not work at all. It doesn't matter. They make me emotionally feel good shoving those in his mouth.
Here's some medicine, sweetie. This will make you feel better.
Sugar pills or whatever they are. Which, by the way, I made Stefan. Put these in your mouth, Stefan.
To make sure it wasn't poisonous.
Yeah, make sure it wasn't poisonous. Anyway, but they were off the market and they got put back on the market, and their big thing is childproof container.
Oh, uh-huh.
Right. So I'm like, all right, anyway, Ellis has this thing where he just like little cars, little anything he likes to hold on to, and he'll hold on to whatever it is for like 4 hours. Mm. He never puts it down. It's very sweet and comforting to him.
That's cute.
Well, he was holding the teething tabs, the Highland teething tabs.
In their like container?
In their sealed container.
Yeah.
And it's time for the nap, and every time I try and pry it out of his hands, hysterical. And I'm like, fuck it. Whatever.
What's going to happen?
I put him to sleep, and we all go to sleep. It's like it's nighttime. It's not even a nap. It's nighttime. The next morning after, you know, waking up a bazillion times, not important to the story, we've, like, taken him out. We've all had breakfast. Stefan's going to put him down for his, like, morning little cat nap, and he says, Elizabeth, can you please come in here? And the bed is just full of teething tabs. It was just like every teething tab. Just, I'm like, so clearly.
Like flower petals?
Like, yeah, they're just, yes, as if it's my baby's wedding. Like the teething tab fairy has come and like sprinkled the magical teething tabs. I mean, he didn't eat any of them. It doesn't matter even if he did.
Right.
But like, it's it was just like, wow, those are in fact not childproof.
Nope.
And, that was hard because it just felt like awful. I turned to Stefan and I was like, because Stefan lets him sleep with like little cars. And I'm like, if he can get a childproof cap off, he can get a little tire off. We're just going to have to stop it.
Yeah.
We're just going to have to be a little more vigilant.
Yes.
And better parents.
Please.
Mm-hmm.
We were coming home from something, and it was school, and Simon must have seen that somebody's parents gave them gummy bears in their lunch.
Oh, I know!
Which, thank you so much, whoever you are.
Yep.
So Simon comes home and says he wants some gummy bears, but then I remembered, I think we actually have some gummy bears, like, tucked away. So I'm like, actually, sure. It was, like, Friday after school. I'm like, actually, sure. I think we have gummy bears. I'll get you some gummy bears. Sure.
Right.
That sounds great. And I'm, like, kind of happy, like,
I'm going to give my kid, I've got this.
He asked for gummy bears, and I'm going to give him gummy bears. It's Friday afternoon. So I go, and they're not where I thought they were. And so then I'm like, oh, maybe they're gone. And I'm looking and looking, and he's getting like, Mom, where are the gummy bears?
Chop.
Are they? And I'm like, oh, Daddy must have eaten them. But I was saying it like absentmindedly, kind of like figuring it out for myself.
Oh,
like,
I know where this is
going. Daddy must have eaten the gummy bears. Yeah, they're... We don't have, and then I said, we don't have them anymore. Why did Daddy eat my gummy bears? They weren't really your gummy bears. And I'm trying to take it back. I don't know if Daddy ate them.
Right,
I don't know where they, we had them. Sometimes Daddy eats gummy bears and they're not there. And I'm trying to backtrack, but it was so far gone. It was so way too late. And of course, Jesse comes home from work that night. And the first thing Simon says to him is, Daddy, why did you eat my gummy bears?
Dick.
I know. And Jesse just looks at me like,
what?
Excuse me? Like, what? And of course, like all weekend long, it's just, where are my gummy bears? Why did you eat my gummy bears?
Can I have them now?
Yeah. Where am I? Yeah. Just over
you shouldn't
and over.
Eat my gummy bears.
Yeah. I just felt like such. I was like, I swear I did not just like try to pin that on you.
Is it just me or do our fails just come easier and easier the longer
really
we do this show?
Yes.
Awful.
Mornings at our house are usually pretty busy since we have four kids. But this last Wednesday, it was especially busy since my husband was out of town and I was running the whole show myself. I had to get all of the kids out of the house 40 minutes early since I had to run the carpool and drop off my daughter who's in junior high. And then I barely made it to drop off the two kids who are in elementary school and went to drop off my son at preschool, who's four, and he mentions that he's hungry, and realized at that point that I had forgotten to feed my four-year-old breakfast in the rush to get everybody dressed and have their lunches made and have all of their backpacks filled, and I didn't feed my four-year-old before school. Ugh. Luckily, there was a Burger King nearby, and he got a burrito, but that was a great fail for me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That sucks.
You do suck. And that sucks. That's hard. I mean, that is hard trying to get hard enough to get, like, me out of the house with everything.
I know.
With food in me. But you're a horrible mother for not feeding your child.
Yeah.
You should, in fact, feel awful.
You are the greatest mom I've ever known. I love you. I love you. When I have a problem, I call you on the phone. I love you, I love you.
Teresa.
Yes.
Let's call a mom.
Great.
This week, we talked to Erica Ladd from the blog Ladventure, the Girl Next Door podcast, and the author of the new book, The Candid Teacher, and soon-to-be adoptive mama. Welcome, Erica.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you for being on. We're going to just kick things off with our question we always ask our guests, which is, who lives in your house?
Who lives in my house? It is me and Mr. Ladd, my husband of 9 years. And then we have two dogs who are our first and foremost fur babies, for sure. they're two little terrier mixes, Miko and Buddy. And then we are expecting two more siblings we're adopting from foster care. So we're expecting any month now, I guess, two siblings, 0 to 6, somewhere in that age range. So it's about to get crazy around here.
Oh, wow. So there's not even like a lot of prep time. It's just going to be like ding dong.
There's a little bit. We're finishing up the process right now. So we kind of have an idea, but then as soon as we're certified in the next couple months here, it's like whenever, you know, you're chosen for a placement. So, yeah, from then it will be a little bit crazy.
Oh, my God. How exciting and anxious is this experience? My gosh.
Yeah, it's crazy, for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome, though.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Really awesome.
Yeah.
Really exciting.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll have to have you back on and pump you for the whole experience.
Yeah. I am sure I will have stories for you.
So we're going to start off with the book. The book is brand new, and the full title is The Candid Classroom, What Parents Want to Know and Teachers Want to Tell Them. And it basically covers everything from preparing your child for kindergarten and, more importantly, you for kindergarten and elementary school and volunteering and homework and what I have been affectionately calling the prison yard, a.k.a. recess.
Right.
It's really informative and helpful, and I can't believe there hasn't been a book like this out there. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you taught and what you teach and what led you to write the book?
Okay. Yeah, I am an elementary teacher by trade. I'm taking a break now to write and to be a mom soon. But what kind of led me, I have three nieces that were all starting kindergarten the same year, and I got all these questions from my sister and sister-in-law, and I'm like, you know, I feel like we don't do a great, it's this foreign world if you've never had a kid in school, right? And we don't do a great job of kind of reaching out and being like, okay, real talk, if we could sit down and have coffee or wine, preferably wine,
right,
this is what I would tell you about, you know, like what you actually need to know. Not all the lingo, not all of the, you know, curriculum, all that stuff. You'll get all that. It'll be fine. But like, I know that moms and dads are worried about, like, why has my kid come home with their whole lunch and it's not eaten? Like,
right,
what's going on? Or are they going to get bullied? Or all of these things that seem scary and foreign. And so that's kind of what inspired it. I taught kindergarten English language learners, which was my favorite of all time when I lived in Wisconsin. And then in Arizona, I've taught special ed for a year, third grade for a year, and second grade. So a little bit of everything in the elementary level.
Wow. Well, my daughter is a kindergartner this year. She's the first in.
Oh, okay.
And so your book actually, I started reading it roughly at the time that she started this year, and it has been very helpful. And so I thought I wanted to get into some questions with you that I'm actually experiencing, and I thought some of our listeners might be experiencing too. There is, you hit it right on the head, and I've been comparing it to like going into surgery. And the doctor's performed the surgery a million times, and you're like, but is this going to hurt? How long is this going to last? Where the side? And they kind of look at you like, or you feel like they're looking at you like, I don't know. It's going to hurt.
Chill out, right?
Yeah, it's going to be fine. I do this all the time.
Yeah, I do this all the time, but I don't. I don't do this all the time.
You know? Exactly.
Will I still be able to play the piano? You know, like you never played the piano, right? So how do I talk to my kindergarten teacher to let her know I want to help? I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. I actually don't know what's going on, and there's a good chance because I wasn't paying attention. Maybe I missed it. I could have missed it. That's possible. But, like, I can't be the first parent to have missed it. So, like, how do I talk to her without her being like – because I have to assume there's also a level of jadedness amongst kindergarten teachers.
Or just that they're busy.
They're busy.
They don't have time to explain it 20
totally
times.
It, like,
right. They, I'm sure they've had a million people come through, though, and be like, I want to help. And then, like, 2 weeks later, like, did they go? So, like – I wanna do this without coming across like an aggressive dick. So how do I do this?
I first of all love that you said that because there's so many parents that would never acknowledge that, hey, I might come across that way if I you know, dive right in.
That's basically like my opening line to anybody I ever talk to.
Yeah, like, you don't think this of me. I think that's the biggest thing, like Teresa hit it on the head that they're so busy and tired. This first month is, we're talking survival, like 30 children, hopefully less than that in her class, but you know, up to 30, it's like herding cats. Like it's insane. So I think that, giving it that first month, number one, but then I would just start with sending an email and saying, hey, I know you are so busy. Like first off appreciative, something that, you know, your daughter's really loving about class or something like that. And then just saying, I really want to help. And I really want to help take something off your plate and make sure I'm involved, but I don't want to add any more work. Cause I think there's so many parents, honestly, that think it's like, oh, I'm going to go help in my daughter's classroom and take cute selfies of us. And look what an involved mom I am. You know what I mean? And it's like, no, we don't need that kind of help.
Right.
So I have, and I know you won't, just by asking, I know you won't be that kind of mom.
Well,
so
no,
I think
it's funny. I've shown up and I have said I'll do anything. And this woman, she's great. She'll be like, here's a cloth. Can you go wipe down those tables where we just had donuts? And I'm like, yes, ma'am. Yes, I can. I can
awesome.
Wipe these tables down. That's absolutely correct.
That's the kind of stuff they need. Like I had a grandma volunteer once and it was a nightmare. I wrote about it in the book. There's a whole chapter on volunteering. And I said, I mean, she was like sitting at my desk one day writing her granddaughter a note on my stationery, like while I wasn't even in the classroom.
Yeah, the section that you've got on my, it actually is very helpful. The book really kind of covers almost everything. And I thought you did some stuff on bullying and working stuff out, which I thought was interesting because, again, my daughter comes home and this is like the first time there's real recess. It's not like constructive play. It's recess. You're going out and playing and figuring it out on your own. And she's come home with like everything from like, I just ate some rocks to like, you know, this kid, which is its own story. And then like, or just like kids like throwing sand or whatever. And it's not, I'm listening to the stuff and I know she's not unhappy and she's not like, no one's cornering her for lunch money. They're working it out and she's learning how to be assertive. And but would you address a little bit about the playground dynamics just a little to maybe comfort other people who are just kind of going into it, or Teresa whose kid has to go into the land of eating rocks and throwing sand?
I think one thing that's really hard is that in the news and media it's like really popular to talk about bullying and how, you know, kids are being bullied and to the point of not wanting to go to school and hating their life. And I just think it's kind of a trumped up thing, to be honest with you, from the teacher's perspective, especially in elementary school. It's really, there are kids who have a hard time, right? Like who were not raise the best and who have a hard time with 100 kids on the playground figuring out how to socialize.
Right.
But teachers are really working with those kids, and they are, you know, throwing sand might be progress from punching a kid in the face. You
right.
know what I mean? So, like,
right.
I think that there's this idea when your kid comes home and tells you things that, like, oh, well, like, where were the adults? What was actually going on? And just to know that backstory that, like, that's a huge time that we work on social skills, especially kindergarten with those little ones. And then that, yeah, like, it's really easy to label a kid as a bully or something, and they're just figuring it out, maybe. You know, they've never maybe had somebody teach them, no, we don't throw sand or eat sand or put sand down our pants. Like,
right.
those aren't normal things to do. But maybe nobody's taught them that. And so I think that, I don't know, when we, like, slap this, you know, label of bully or whatever on a kid instead of just teaching them a better way and teaching them how to get along and working with kids to figure that out, it can be really detrimental. So I think that's great that you're just seeing, but it's hard. It's hard to hear those stories like, oh, I don't want her to get sand thrown at her.
Well,
you know?
I'd say I'm probably raising the future real bully. I'm like, well, this is what you do. You take that kid out. Kick the shins.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I had kids come tattle, and I was like, so did you like that? And they're like, no. I'm like, well, go tell them you didn't like that.
Yeah.
Exactly. When you throw sand at me, I don't like that. Or I would say, like, if you do that, kids will think you're mean, and you're not mean, so don't do that.
Yeah, and then, okay, sorry, go ahead, Teresa.
No, I have a question about this. I think there's a, I mean, my child is in preschool, but, like, I think there's a tendency when you hear a story as a parent and you're not there, you're so out of control in that scenario that you're trying to get any information you can out of your child.
Right.
And I think sometimes we make it worse by, like, grilling them. Well, what happened? And who was there?
Yeah.
And what did they, are you sure? Did they do this or did they do that?
Mm-hmm.
And you're, you get, and you kind of, like, work. I think it is very possible to work up something out of nothing.
Yeah.
However, there is always the thing in the back of your head that's like, you know, well, I love my child and I'm the primary person looking out for this little child.
Right.
And it is my risk. I know the teachers are there to keep our kids safe, but, you know, I'm the parent and there maybe, like, where would you, is there anywhere we can draw the line where we say, this would be a good time for a parent to affirmatively go and get involved without, like,
oh,
is there any time where a parent should get involved outside of when the teacher comes to the parent saying we need to talk?
Like, oh, no, absolutely. Because I think about it this way, too. A teacher may have thought to herself during the day, hey, I really need to talk to so-and-so's mom about this. And then the day gets away from her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she forgets or whatever. But you are absolutely your child's most important advocate. And I think at any point in time, as long as you come with the right spirit of, hey, this is what I heard, tell me what you think about this, or what have you noticed? I think what happens sometimes is parents get upset, understandably, sometimes, especially if what they had heard actually happened the way they heard it or thought they did. And then they go in with, like, okay, tell me your side of the story, like basically setting it up as, like, a defense thing right away instead of approaching the teacher as a fellow adult who may have some insight into the problem. So I think anytime you have, I mean, trust your gut totally. And as long as you're approaching it, you know, respectfully and not defensively and saying, hey, this is a problem I'm noticing, or are you noticing the same thing? What can we do to solve it? Is absolutely, you should do that. I always appreciated that from parents. So.
Because I do fully think that kindergarten is the hardest year out of all the years for everybody involved.
For sure.
I mean, you got to, for the teachers, they see the same, they know what's coming. They know what's about to happen. They know the, like, ups and downs and, like, the introduction of the bad words and stupid and mean. Like, oh, I can get away. You know, like, all the stuff is going to happen. And then for the kids, it's, again, like you said, their first time really figuring out how to interact socially with other kids without their parents there or without whatever. And then for the parents, my baby!
Exactly.
By first grade, it's like,
enough.
Fuck it.
Yeah, like, as a teacher, I don't think we do enough to acknowledge that because we are a little jaded. Like you said, the surgeon, I love that analogy. Like, we're like, they're fine. We have 30 kids, you know, every year, and they're always fine. But I think that we forget that. But that is your baby. Like, that is your world that you are entrusting to us. And I want to, you know, that was one of my other goals in reading the book or writing the book, is just to bridge that gap. Like, hey, I get it that this is, like, crazy hard for you. And let's see how we can make this easier.
Well, speaking of making it easier, I want to talk about some of the other things that you're doing, because you have a lot going on besides just this book and getting ready for children, which is enough. Yeah. Which is enough. Enough to call it a day, in my opinion.
Plenty, yeah.
Yeah, plenty. So you've got your personal blog, which is sort of like a personal sort of journal type blog. And you put it as about how you put it as living a life with adventurous intention. And it's called Adventure. What do you mean by that? What is that for you?
Well, I started the blog when we moved from Wisconsin to Arizona, just kind of on a whim. We wanted to do something new. We didn't have kids yet, obviously. We had some friends that lived here, and it was just, it came out of kind of this time in our life where we're like, why not? Like, I don't think we take chances enough in life, and we just wanted the experience. If we decided to move back, fine. But I started the blog as a way to kind of document that whole thing and keep up with friends and family, you know, let them know what was going on. So it was kind of came out of that. But really the move and everything just opened up this new side of like, why not take more risks? Why not try more things? And like now leading up to this adoption is just one big, huge adventure that I would not have, you know, necessarily intended on. But I think that if you take these things in life that can be hard things, that can be scary things, and look at them through that lens of adventure, it gets easier, it gets more fun, you grow more. And so I just think, not at all through rose-colored glasses, but taking on things as intentional adventures makes a big difference for me. And so that's kind of the lens that I write through. So
yeah, that's genius. It's such a good way to look at life and to approach things. Like any minute, the Indiana Jones boulder could just come after you. So
exactly.
I love it. I love it. I love that. Is that something, is that like a philosophy you're going to be able to adapt with your kids? Or do you think suddenly it's going to be like the record scratch?
Oh, no, I'm sure I will have some record scratch moments. But I think even this whole thing, like adopting from foster care too, there's so many unknowns, and you know, kids don't end up in foster care for good reasons. And so there's going to be some things that are thrown at us that are just going to be hard, flat out.
Yeah.
And I think that knowing that and just like, okay, like putting on your big girl panties, like we're going to make this work. We're going to figure it out. And I don't know. And I think, you just kind of have to. Life is hard and life sucks no matter what.
Like, that's our mantra.
People go through hard crap, right? Like, so I just think if you can look at as much of it as possible as an adventure and a growing experience, it can only help. So,
all right. Well, speaking of adventure, the last thing that you are, and not the last thing, but the last thing we're going to try and touch on in the saga that is your intense life of doing things, that is the podcast. The Girl Next Door, which is literally a podcast that you do with the girl who lives next door to you, which is where this is the highlight. This is that we could just stop the interview after this. You guys just talk about stuff and make cocktails.
Sure do.
This is fucking genius. This is the most genius thing. I say to future Erica now, once those kids show up, you keep at least the cocktail portion going. Don't lose it. And how did that get started?
My neighbor Kelsey and I actually both have blogs, and we didn't, you know, we'd say hi when we saw each other at the mailbox, whatever, but we weren't really friends until we realized that we both had blogs. And so then we kind of bonded in real life over this online world, which is really weird because we're right next door to each other.
That's so weird.
But we started kind of started helping each other. Like, how did you make this damn button for your blog? Or how, you know, like just getting together to talk about that kind of stuff. And then after one session like that, she texted me and was like, okay, next thing, me, you, two mics, cocktails, a podcast. I'm like, okay. And I literally had never even listened to a podcast. Like, did not really even know what they were. And now I'm really glad that I do because they're fun and I find ones like you guys that are amazing. But yeah, so we just were like, what if we just recorded this? Like, I like listening to girls talk about stuff, so, you know, maybe other people would too. So that's kind of what happened, and it's just been really great and kind of taken off, so it's been awesome.
Well, yeah, and the cocktail, last question, do you have a favorite cocktail so far? What's your favorite cocktail? Favorite cocktail?
I don't know. She just made a frozen melon mojito. It was just like fresh cantaloupe and mint simple syrup and stuff, and it was amazing. And she's pregnant, so she has to have mocktails, poor thing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Wait, all right.
But it was a good mocktail even.
Attention, everyone. I'm not about to put a lot of pressure on you because as a person who likes really good cocktails and refined cocktails and like high-end cocktails and like all that good stuff, it is a wasteland for pregnant women out there. It's like, here's your strawberry, virgin strawberry daiquiri. Mm-hmm.
And I'm
like,
I
don't want a fucking strawberry daiquiri. I want like something that's like, you know, an Algonquin or a Manhattan or something really delicious and interesting.
Yeah.
But without booze.
Some bartenders will do that.
Yeah, but like, you have to really have hunch to really, for them or know what to ask for. So I hope that you guys are doing this challenge and making them.
Yes.
And then you will get a ton of our listeners. Everybody go listen. Who's pregnant?
I know. We always put on in the show notes the leaded version for me and the unleaded version for her. So
that's great.
That's the great part about expecting through the adoption is you can keep drinking.
That's awesome.
Which is very necessary in this process.
Once again, genius. Well, on that note, we will wrap it up. Erica, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to link everybody up to all of the exciting things that you were doing. And I cannot recommend the book enough. The Candid Classroom, it's really been super helpful. And I don't think you have to be going into kindergarten to read it. I think you could be anywhere along the line in your kid's education and get some insight about teachers and expectations and all that, and as well as people who, like, say, Simon, who's just in preschool right now. It's really good. So, again, we'll link everybody up to it. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been fun.
Same here. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Pick up the phone when you like her.
Hey, Max Fun listeners, I'm Dave Holmes, and if you've been missing my show, International Waters, then you've been missing this.
Gotta stick together, Philip. Gotta stick
together. Why are you cupping my balls?
It's family, Philip. It's family.
Don't squeeze them so tight, Miss Pop. Oh, Jesus,
it hurts. I'm doing this in the name of...
I'm so sorry!
So sorry. So sorry about that.
I withdraw from the round.
That was a beautiful stage reading of 9 to 5.
International Waters, a panel show where U.S. and U.K. comedians battle for pop culture supremacy. Subscribe right now on iTunes or at MaximumFun.org.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, we need more, like, communication between teachers and parents that, like, isn't so loaded, you know? It's really nice to just talk about, like, let's work together.
Yeah, know? Let's work together. It's, it's I think it's another one of those things where, especially if you aren't in school yet and you don't know how the process works, and let's say you've only spent the last 10 years listening to, like, teachers, politicians, school, everybody's horrible.
The unions.
The union, like all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't even know what's going on. I just want you to do your best and, with my kid. And I want my kid to do their best with you. And like, I want this to work. And I don't want to be a jerk. I don't want to be like a burden. I want to be a help. So the book's really helpful. And I really love the looking at life as an adventure philosophy. That is
totally
amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
It's really great. Speaking of living life as an adventure, I think we should listen to a mom have a breakdown.
Me too.
Okay, this is my rant. Here's the reason why we always, as the mom, have to do absolutely everything. 30 minutes ago, I sent my husband to pick up the Chinese food. So I call him. It's been 30 minutes. It's down the road. He should have been back 15 minutes ago. I call him wondering where he is, and he says, oh, they said it wasn't ready. And I said, well, what the fuck? What the freaking fuck is wrong with them? Why did they tell us it was going to be 5 to 10 minutes when it was taking way longer? Then he says, okay, please don't be mad. I've actually just been walking around the movie store trying to pick out a movie. Whoa. My head literally almost exploded. All I wanted was my dinner. It's 8 o'clock almost. I just wanted dinner. I should have gone out and picked up the Chinese food myself. like I always have to do everything myself or it doesn't get done. Thank you for this rant.
All right, there's part two. Okay. She calls back.
All right.
She calls back.
All right.
Don't smile like you think it's going to get better.
Okay.
So I just called in and ranted, and I said it was almost 8 o'clock because I don't know what fucking time it is. But then I hang up the phone, and I look, and it's 8:30. It's almost 9 o'clock, and I still haven't had fucking dinner. I should have just made something. I get off work at 6 o'clock. I could have eaten dinner and been on my way with the night already. But no, he had to pick up the Chinese food. Okay, I'm sorry. Bye.
Okay, this is what I like about this rant so very much. And that is that, like,
what was the purpose of the second call? I'm
just to make sure that we understand that it's way later and the food's still not home, I think is the point. Is that, like, it's not like he's only been gone 30 minutes. Like, an hour and a half to 2 hours has passed.
Okay.
And we still don't have to, which I have been there, where you're like, here's this easy thing that's supposed to happen and make life easier. Like, even, like, ordering a pizza and then, like, for whatever reason, it's, like, an hour late. And you're like, I could have done all this stuff by now. We could be, like, in bed. It's, like, it's so frustrating. But I love the, like, you know this is how this went down. The food's not ready. What do you mean? And so she's taking all the anger out of the Chinese food place. And then the husband's like, okay, it's actually not the Chinese food place's fault. I'm actually just cruising
around.
Just wandering.
And our
I'm just
food
wandering.
Is sitting on the counter getting cold at the restaurant.
Yeah, just getting cold or whatever. That is brutal.
Yeah, it sucks.
It does suck.
Yeah.
So hang in there. Hang in there. You can do it. I assume you're still married.
You didn't marry a dick?
You didn't marry a dick. I think you didn't probably marry a dick.
Probably.
You probably...
He probably thought he was, like, bringing home a romantic movie to watch after your...
Absolutely.
After your Chinese food together.
Nah, she gets to have a rant. You get that. You have your rant. You're okay. You're fine. You're doing a good job. You're okay. You're doing a good job. What did we learn today? First thing we've learned, never send your husband to do anything. All the old comic strips were right. Women and men are from different planets. And it is fine to be pissed about it. Like, whatever. You're all right. You're doing okay.
Yeah.
Two, I think we have learned that Teresa and I are delights. We've learned a little bit more about each other.
Yeah.
And you're all welcome.
And we're great and we're great friends.
We're great and we're great friends. And who knew?
Yeah.
Life of Brian.
Yeah.
Meaning of life.
Yeah. It's,
who knew?
It's kind of like a beautiful pairing.
It is. It is. And then three.
You guys should all do that, by the way. It's a good exercise to do with your mom friends.
I think that, so when you meet for your mom groups, for example, maybe your One Bad Mother mom group that I hope are forming all across the country right now. And if you haven't had a chance, join us on the Max Fun forums and look for the One Bad Mother meetups, where we're just encouraging you guys to get in touch with each other and use One Bad Mother as a good jumping off ground, as a reason to get together and relieve a little stress and have some fun. But you could play this game.
Yep.
How long can we go without talking about our kids? For Teresa and I, it's 25 minutes.
Yep.
And the final thing that we have learned is that we actually learned a great deal from Erica Ladd, so I can't even say it's final. I think there are a lot of little things we learned. One, open communication with the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And teachers, remember, some of us are new to the rodeo. Mm-hmm. Be kind.
Yeah.
And we will be kind. And be clear. Two, and the teachers are doing a fucking great job.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you,
good
teachers.
Job, teachers.
Thank you, teachers. Thank you so much. Two, look at life as an adventure. I really just think this is a great way to, you know, I got to go to the store with two kids. It's going to be a fucking nightmare. No, it's not. It is going to be a grocery cart adventure.
Extravaganza.
It is. It's going to be amazing. And when all else fails, sit down with a friend and have a good cocktail.
Sure.
Or a mocktail.
Yeah.
Teresa, you are doing a great job.
Thank you. So are you.
Thank you. This was very fun know you.
Yeah.
All right. Everybody hang in there. You're all doing great. Everybody go out and ask each other a question that you don't know. Even to your partners or to your mom or dad. You never know. Might be nice to ask your teacher. Go out. Have some fun this week.
Have an adventure.
We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
I got to low down mama blues. I got to low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. Low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. You know that right.
We'd like to thank Max Fun, Lindsay Pavlis, our engineer, our husbands Stefan Lawrence and Jesse Thorne, our perfect children who provide us with inspiration to say all these horrible things, and of course, you, our listener. To find out more about the songs you heard on today's podcast and more about the show, please go to MaximumFun.org.
One Bad Mother is a member of the Maximum Fun family of podcasts. To support the show, visit MaximumFun.org and click on Donate.
Do you have a genius or fail moment you'd like to share on the show? Then leave us a message at 206-350-9485. Full-on rage-induced rants are also welcome.
Well, daddy, baby, bus and bike, got thrown down mama. Oh, daddy.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist-owned.
Listener-supported.